Welcome to the final episode of the year. Tiffany, Jamie, and I are excited to share our favorites from the 2023 reading year. We'd love to hear yours. Just shoot us an email to literaryscape@literaryscape.com with the subject 2023 favorites. It's almost the start of a new year, and I have a great coaching program coming for those who are aspiring authors that want to run their own author business. Next week's episode will be for you. Remember to sign up for the HCRW newsletter to receive details about this new coaching opportunity. Readers, our 2024 reading year kickoff show will air on January 12th. Stay tuned to hear what new books we have in store for you. And don't forget to sign up for our Literary Escape Book Club newsletter to stay up to date. Now, let's hop in to this amazing episode where we wrap up our 2023 reading year. But let's pray first. Lord, I just thank you for yet another amazing year that when we look back on it, we can see the many ways that you have been working for us in engineering our circumstances. And I ask, Lord, that you go before us for this new year, for this 2024 year, that you would open doors and prepare hearts and just go before us as we follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Literary Escape presents the historical inspirational book club podcast, the first of its kind. This show is for those who love clean romance adventure stories from the 1800s.
In this episode,
Tiffany,
Jamie,
and Melissa will be discussing what we've read for the 2023 year, which is actually really exciting. We're going to be sharing our top threes, and I think we all have some runners up too, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard. And I, last night when I was like re-looking at everything, I'm going through each month and thinking about, like, Jamie and I were talking about this before we got started, how much has happened just in this last year. It's crazy to think, like, when I went, especially when I went back to January, where we read The Colorado Cowboys by Jody Headland, I was like, man, that seems like ages ago, doesn't it?
It does, right. And it doesn't. It is,
does,
and it's not.
It doesn't. So let me read through real quick what we read. So January, we read The Colorado Cowboys by Jody Headland. In February, we did Hidden Hearts of the Gilded Age by Crystal Cottle. March, we did Hearts of Montana by Misty M. Beller. April, Brookstone Brides by Tracy Peterson. May, Strong Heart, Open Spirit by Danny Roan. July, Daughters of Boston by Julie Lessman. August, Wells Fargo West by Julia David. September, Cross Family Saga by Jody Basie. October, we did a flip out. And I can't remember, we went with what we changed that out with, but I'm going to consider October's reading a scratch. And then November, we did the Cripple Creek series by Sarah R. Turnquist. Pretty exciting. That's a lot of reading, ladies. So congratulations. All right. So let's start off with, what were your top three series?
So my top three in no particular order, because I couldn't.
Oh, you couldn't even.
I couldn't even put them in order. Although I will say, okay, I'll say my my number one was the Daughters of Boston series by Julie Lessman, and then second one, it was a tie for a second, and I don't know, because the Cripple Creek series was so like fresh in my mind, but I really did enjoy that series. And then the Colorado Cowboys, January, when I went back through the list, I'm like, yeah, okay, that I remember that those stood out. So those are my three for the series.
Of series.
Of series.
All
yes.
Right. Jamie, did you get your notes?
I did. I got my notes. Okay. So Brookstone Brides definitely stood out. Again, no particular order. Wells Fargo West, I really enjoyed that. And it was hard, but I really loved the Cripple Creek. I love this last one. So, like, Cross Family Saga was good. They were all good, but
yeah,
I think those are definitely my favorites.
Did you have any runners up? Did you guys have any that you would say, I would consider this a runner up?
I would, the runner up for me would be the Brookstone Brides series.
Okay. I had a hard time too. I think they were all great. They're all great. But if you start lining them up, mm-hmm. my runner up was the Cross Family Saga, which, by the way, her fourth book came out like the end of October. I haven't been able to read it yet, but I'm hoping to get to it soon. Because it's about the brother.
Oh.
Yeah, that came in at the end, in the outlaw book, he came to help Gideon. He's Gideon's brother. And so I'm really curious to read that one. But anyways, okay. And then number three, I put Wells Fargo West. No, I'm sorry. Oh, guys, I'm looking at my wrong list. Darn it. Okay, hold on. Oh, number three was The Hidden Hearts of the Gilded Age by Crystal Cottle. I loved her mystery and the humor that she put in there. I love. And then the action, like the fight scenes. I thought she did a great job of that. And then in second, I put Colorado Cowboys by Jody Hudlin because I really liked her romance level. And then, can you just guess what was number one series for me?
The Julie Lessman series.
Daughters of Boston by Julie Lessman. I love, if you've read all the books of the O'Connor family, I just can't get enough of them. So, but you also know that I love romance. And she has got mm-hmm. romance, like, to the hilt, you know? All right. This might seem a bit redundant, but then I thought sometimes you can like one novel out of a series, right? But maybe not like the whole series. So that's why I asked what your top three novels were. So anybody want to go first?
I just had one that like stood out was Mary and Mr. Wrong.
Oh, that's not even from this year.
Oh, it's not?
No, that was from last year.
Oh, well, I was looking at the wrong list.
It made an impact. If you still remember
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just remember that
book. Was a good one, though.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry I looked at the wrong year going back.
They start to blur after a while.
I
do.
But I did also enjoy just looking at the list when I was... Sorry, I did
the wrong It's okay.
I can't believe I did that. I'm trying to think.
We can circle back.
Yeah, circle back.
Okay.
I'm
all
sorry.
Right, Jamie, you're up.
I don't know. When You Were Near from Brookstone Brides really stood out. I just really enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Juan from the Cross Family. That one just was special to me.
That's who we put in October. No, not Cross Family.
I was trying to think.
It's the Settlers.
Settlers, okay.
The Settlers, yes.
Yes.
That story was
good.
I
enjoyed those. But I really, this very last, and I don't know if it's just because we just read it, but the very last book, Faith in Cripple Creek, was... Yes.
Yeah.
There were so many great things about that book.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need more time, Tiff?
I'm going to go with... I agree with the Cripple Creek series. I liked the last one in that, but I also liked the Christmas in Cripple Creek one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because it showed, I think it's because we're getting into the holiday season mm-hmm. and yeah. I'm trying to teach my kids the real meaning of Christmas and, you know, and the how Christmas comes and I don't know.
Yeah. It's not about all
the gifts and mm-hmm. the hubbubaloo,
yes.
but it's just, you know.
It's about Jesus coming yes. down and. That real, he's our real gift.
Oh, that one. And then also, I really, when I was looking back, the Brookstone Brides series, I can't pick a favorite one of those. I think mm-hmm. I liked.
It was a good series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is where I messed up. I started to give it away. I had to do a runner up when I did the novels, and that was Redeeming the Outlaw out of the Cross Family Saga.
Okay.
I just absolutely loved that story. And then in third place, I put The Station Keeper's Surrender from Wells Fargo West by Julia David. I don't know. I really
that was on my list too.
I really enjoyed that one. And then in second place, I put The Last Chance Cowboy in the Colorado Cowboys series by Jody Headland, because I absolutely loved Dylan. I loved him. he had some great one-liners in there that I just really enjoyed. And then first place I gave to A Passion Redeemed in the Daughters of Boston series by Julie Lessman. And I think most people might be shocked because that is Charity's story. And if you remember in the first book, you literally hate her guts, right? Because she is a real jerk. Wasn't she?
Yeah.
And then and to the point that even Julie said her publisher or her agent, I can't remember which, was like, I just don't see how you can write a book where people like Charity. But in the end, I absolutely loved her. Redeemed. There you go. Okay. Then looking at our leading ladies, did you have like top three leading ladies that you really enjoyed?
Can't read my writing. Okay, so one of them wasn't a leading lady, but I cannot get over Widow B.
Oh,
like,
yes.
She will forever have a special place in my heart.
We should have done a supporting character.
Yeah, she got the supporting character award. But Lizzie Brookstone from Brookstone Rides was, I just thought she was really great. Ava Farrow. And then the mom, Lauren, again, not really leading lady, but, well, she was a leading lady in Waverly Place.
Yeah.
So I guess that would count, but I truly enjoyed her as a character.
Yeah. She's such a good mom. And he was such a good dad.
Yeah.
They were great.
They were great.
All right, Tiff, you're up if you're ready.
I had a hard time with this
I
one
bet.
Just because obviously I looked at the wrong list on my Kindle like that.
It's okay.
Okay, but I guess share. Katie really stood out in the last series. She as the leading lady. And Mary, and I'm really right, it was Mary. Those two and their friendship and just how they navigated life together. They're just the freshest in my mind. I'm terrible with names and remembering names, so I'm sorry.
You're okay. Okay, here we go. Let's see if I look at my right notes this time, guys. Okay, in third place, I put Elaine from Redeeming the Outlaw. And I think it's because even though she's kind of like a little crazy, I could totally relate to her sensory issues and not liking being dirty and all of that. And then her willingness to like try it and buck up. And I just really liked her. She got some grit put into her. Whereas at the beginning of the series, she's another one that you're like, oh my word, can't stand her. So, and then the second one, I put Ivy from Falling for the Cowgirl in the Colorado Cowboys series. Do you remember Ivy? She was always, because she's...
When you say the names, I remember them.
Yeah. I loved her because she's such a tomboy because she's raised by four older brothers and she's trying to, you know, make her way in the world. And she was always getting into those predicaments, right?
Like you do, yeah.
Like I do. I so can relate to her, you know, just being a tomboy and like, I'm going to do it. And then... All of a sudden, I'm in this predicament, and I have to have a hero come save me, which is totally how she was. When I was growing up, it was Dad. I was like, Daddy, help me. Now it's Derek. Which I have to tell you, ladies, about my day yesterday, because it was a total, like, Ivy day. But we'll get to that later. And then my number one was Faith from A Passion Most Pure. Well, she's really in all of those books, but that was her story. I loved her faith. I did. And I don't know. She's someone that I know she's not a real person, but she's someone that I think I hope to have faith like that. You know what I mean? She faced so much and she trusted that God would answer her prayers and give her her heart's desire. And of course he did in the end, but man, did she have to go through a lot of crud to get there. And I just really enjoyed her character. So do you want to know how I was looking like Ivy yesterday?
Yeah, I do.
So first of all, we're going to take a pause. We'll come back to who our heroes are, because Derek likes to drink a whole lemon with water, a cup of water. And so I blend it up in our ninja. As I'm blending it, it explodes.
Oh.
And this is so funny. I didn't realize this. I guess Derek was only a couple steps behind me. He was about ready to give me a hug from behind. And when it exploded, I went, I was just angry. And I don't even know why, but I was like, I hate this thing. I'm like chucking it into the sink. And he was like, I'm going to go start the trucks. He comes back in and he's helping me clean up. And I go, I have to go to the bathroom. I forgot my phone was in my back pocket. So I heard this bang, bang, bang around the toilet. And I turned around thinking, what, did the toilet seat just fall down on me or something? No, my phone fell in the toilet.
Oh, no.
And I didn't even think. I just reached in and grabbed it. And then I'm screaming. Not screaming, but I'm like, Derek, because now I'm thinking, toilet water. And he's like, opens the door. He's like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And I'm like, I dropped my phone in the toilet. And he goes, you didn't use the toilet yet, right? I go, no, I hadn't used the toilet. He's like, set the phone down, use the restroom, and we'll clean up. I'll help you get cleaned up. And I was like, I can't even go to the bathroom anymore. So I'm like, we're scrubbing. And I said, I'm sorry, but... You're going to have to buy me a new phone. It's still working.
That's good.
But I said, this phone will never touch my face again. Even though, like, I mean, I'm, like, scrubbing yes. this thing. It's sanitized, but still, you think, oh, my God. So then I said, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to put my praise music on. I have a half-hour drive to work. And I'm just going to tell the devil to take a hike. Not today. What does the truck do? The dash screen freezes and it won't connect to my phone.
Oh, no.
And I was like, okay, first world problem. I can handle this. And I was like, okay. I stopped the truck because a lot of times if you turn the truck off and restart it, uh-huh. it'll kick it back on. I stopped the truck on the road. No one was around me, by the way, but I turned it off. And then I realized, like, it's pitch black. This is not smart. And then I look at the screen, it's remained frozen and would not, even though the truck was turned off, it would not shut off.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, oh, flip it back on. So then I'm like, I'm just going to play it on my phone. So I played it loud, sang all the way to work. I get to work and I realize I didn't pack my chicken to go on my salad for lunch. I was like, are you kidding? And then the day wasn't too bad at work, except I worked like so long on this thing that had to be uploaded, and I clicked the button to upload it and it won't do anything. And then I end up, it refreshes and I have to start all over. So I start all over on it and then I'm clicking it and it's not doing it. And do you ever go like uh-huh, that? Because yeah. You're like, just go. I ended up swearing. And then as soon as the swear word came out, I was like, I'm so sorry, Lord. I can't do this anymore. It's like pathetic problems, really. But it was just like one after the other. So then the day kind of like smoothed out. But I did have to laugh because we have this like mezzanine at the school where we store things. And I needed to go up and get something. But the steps are like, I'm not kidding you. They're super steep. They're super shallow. And they're made out of concrete. And I said... I went to the front office and there were like three people there. And I said, just because of the day I'm having, I want you to know that I'm going up to the mezzanine. If I'm not back in 15 minutes, you may want to come check on me. They're like, oh, do you goodness. Have your radio? I said, yes, but I may get hit my head and get knocked out. And not the way my day is going. Oh my gosh. I made it. I survived. When I came back, they're like, you made it. So then I was like, the day is going great. We come home. And he's like, hey, mom and dad want to go out to that new Italian restaurant. I said, great, I'd love to go. As I'm changing, I cut myself, my chin. I have like this red spire because I jammed my thumb into my chin. And I said, I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
So I totally think of Ivy because he had to do it. I kept texting him and he kept saying, it's going to be okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, oh. All right, so now let's talk about our heroes, our top three heroes.
You can go first.
Yeah. Okay. My number one is Wyatt from Cripple Creek.
That was mine too.
Oh,
yeah. He wasn't even on my list. And then we read these last years, like, yep, you're number one. Like, sorry, everybody else. Like, just
and
move
Tip,
aside.
Is he your number one? Because he's a doctor and he's in the medical field like
well,
you.
Well, actually, he wasn't on my list at first, too. Kind of the same thing that, because I didn't like him in the first book because I thought, you know, with her friend in the cave and all that.
Oh, I liked him
stories,
from the beginning.
I was just like,
I didn't.
I don't know about you, but throughout the series and how he took care of the family and stepped up and took care of the town.
Yeah, like you find more about his, his story and then you realize how it affected him. It's just you don't like him, but then he's like, oh my gosh, okay, I love you. Yeah. I love you.
Like, why can't everybody be like you?
Oh, I loved him from the beginning. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Gosh. Number two would be Sawyer Roth. He was awesome.
Yeah. From Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo, yeah.
The first book, you know, he's rescuing her and her cat. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, yes. See, bad with names.
That's not that funny to, oh, well, I'll get to it. Never mind. We'll get to it.
Go ahead. And Juan. I really enjoyed Juan.
Yes.
I thought he was a good guy.
Oh, yeah. He was really great.
Those are my top three.
All right, Tiff. You shared your number one.
That's because that's the only one I had. Okay. Because I'm terrible with names, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I remember the characters in the Julie Lesman series. Those they really stood out to me with the fiance switching, but I can't remember their names.
Mitch and Colin.
Colin, yeah. Colin would be up there on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know he used to be, and I knocked him off.
Oh.
Do you have another one?
No, I think him and Wyatt were the ones that stood out. I just could not remember his name.
Oh, okay. Okay. So my number three was Matthias from Redeeming the Outlaw by Jody Bass. I just thought, well, we met him in Redeeming the Prodigal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like an ex-gang member. He's trying to get on the straight and narrow. And I thought he's the only one that saw Elaine for who she was. Like, he saw past all of her struggles. And he was so tender with her and so loving and protective. And then he went and he built and did things to make it chores easier for her because he realized how much she struggled with different aspects of living out west. And then how he just gently helps her try new experience, new things. And that at the end, when they're married and he's in the hot spring and he, you know, it's okay if you don't want to come in, but I'd love to have you join me in the hot spring, you know, and she gets in there and she's in there for a while and she's getting tense. And he goes, you know what? I'm just so glad you even tried it. You know, like he's just like so good with her. And then my second choice is Dylan going back to the Last Chance Cowboy. Because he was like that wild player boy, you know, and then I think even when we talked about it, I said he is like turns out to be like the best husband ever, the most committed, the most devoted. He totally gave up his wild ways and he's a bit of an ornery little fart. If you remember how he got attacked by the bear and he had to stay in bed and she was having trouble getting him to stay in bed. And she said, your brother said that they will come tie you to the bed. And you remember how he grabbed the bedpost and he said, you could tie me up right now, darling. I was like, oh, Dylan, you're my man. Anyways, and then I had a tie for number one between, and I'm going back to the Daughters of Boston series, between Patrick and Mitch. So Patrick is the dad. He's the patriarch of the family. And then Mitch is the one who marries Charity. I think it's because I have a thing for older guys. As noted by my husband. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. They're just so, like, I originally really liked Colin.
Mm-hmm.
And then these guys, I think it's their maturity. Because, like, Mitch was the, in that relationship, Mitch was the strong one, the mature one that was like, Charity, knock it off. You're being ridiculous, you know. And he always keeps her grounded all the way through the series, right? Mm-hmm. But then he has such a passion for her, too, that I just absolutely loved. And Patrick, you know, he was that playboy, right? When we started out, he was the playboy, and then he settled down and he becomes this solid rock for the family. Such a faith-filled man. So I kind of just fell in love with both of them. So those are mine. Anyways, okay, I told you. It's hard when you start looking at them, too, because there's a lot of runners up. Okay, so then we've shared a lot of stories. I just shared one today. and scenes. So were there any stories or scenes from the year that stuck out to you, like, and made you laugh, or they stuck out to you because they were so touching or whatnot?
Lainey and the Beehive.
Oh my word. Yes.
That was the first thing that popped in my head. Because that would be something, the one beehive in the one tree anywhere, and she'd hit it. Like,
yes. Yep. Oh, that was hilarious. Did you have any others?
Like, that was a funny, I mean, there's parts of the stories that really kind of touch your heart and stick out. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we're going to talk about the book again, but the Faith in Cripple Creek.
Yeah.
There was so much about that book that I loved, and just different issues that came about that I didn't think I would see in Christian inspirational.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That book just really stuck out to me. Like, especially his Timothy's struggle.
Yeah. Where he loses faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And doesn't even realize it. And then, yeah, it just that really warmed my heart. Like,
yeah.
When he's talking to Reverend Dawson, it's just, you know,
yeah,
we're preachers, but we're not infallible.
Right.
And it's like, oh.
Still human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tiff, did you have any?
On here, I wrote the stories, just the overall stories between the Julie Lesman series, that how they switched fiancés.
Oh, yeah.
And how in real life I would be so appalled by that. And, you know,
yes.
Like, what are you, what? And, but the way she wrote it and the way the sisters' feuds were, I don't know, that one just stood out to me.
Yeah. And do you know, like, the most latest book that she just did, A Dare and a Prayer, that features Henry, who is one of the twins of Mitch and Charity's kids.
Yeah.
And in that book, it comes out they tell Henry that his dad says, I was actually engaged to your Aunt Faith.
Uh-huh.
And your mom was engaged to your Uncle Colin at one point. And he was like, what? Oh. He goes, we didn't feel like you kids needed to know. But it based on a situation that Henry was facing, he was sharing that. But it was, how weird to think.
Yeah.
And like, in Henry's head, like, his thoughts were like, no way, I could never see that.
Right. And just, I don't know, that stood out. And just some of their feuds and their spats. And and then with the last series, there were so many little tender moments between Catherine and Wyatt that I just loved.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. I wrote down several ladies. So let's see. In the Heart of a Cowboy. Is that right? Is that the right title? Falling. Oh, yeah. In the Heart of a Cowboy. That's not Ivy's story. But do you remember Ivy goes to, I can't think of her name. It's her brother's soon to be wife. And she thinks she's dying because she started her period.
Remember they're on the trail.
Yeah. And so she has to talk her through it. And then, like, her older brother is so thankful to his soon-to-be wife because he's like, I don't even know how to handle it. So, you know, I thought that was, like, the sweetest thing. I don't know. Just and quite funny the way she's like, I'm dying. She's like, oh, no, honey. Let me explain. And then in Falling for the Cowgirl, I liked, do you remember when Ivy and, I can't think of his name now, it starts with a J, but they get caught in the church by her brothers where he's trying to help her because she had just dressed up like a boy to do all those like rough rodeo riding stuff to earn money to buy the land that she wants. And he followed her in there and he was giving her a what for. You could have been killed. You could, you know, all this stuff. And she's like, just help me unpin this wrap. And, you know, so he's trying to help her. She's like half naked. and he's like caught up in her stuff, and they're like super close, and then her brothers bust through the door. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? And yeah. they started punching him, and she's like, leave him alone. And they're like, you're gonna marry our sister right now, and you know, all this stuff. But it's just hilarious. But me, that was just one predicament she got into.
That was in the Brookstone Bride series, right?
No, that was in the Colorado Cowboy.
Colorado,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then in Counterfeit Truth, do you remember where Felicity, they were like investigating a robbery, and Felicity is crawling around the room looking for clues, and her rear end is in the air, and Hayden is like, he notices like the guys are like looking at her backside, and he does not appreciate it, so he's like, get off the floor. And she's so innocent. What? I don't understand. I thought that was hilarious. That would be me. I'd be like, what? I don't understand. And then A Light in the Window. I loved when Patrick and Marcy were having that water fight at the soup kitchen that they volunteered at. I just thought that was so sweet. Ended up being romantic, too. And I love all of Julie's kiss scenes. I couldn't. She does an amazing job writing them. The Station Keeper's Surrender. I loved Ava's son, and I can't think of his name now, but
Matthew,
his reaction to the Indian woman eating bugs. Do you remember that? He was like, yes. Mom, oh, she ate a bug.
Yeah.
And it was crunchy. It was so funny.
Oh my God.
Redeeming the Prodigal. This, it wasn't a funny scene, but do you remember when Joe Gideon was like, let me take you home and take care of you? And she's like, no. And she ends up getting kicked out of the high-end brothel, and she goes down to like what I call death row, but they had a different name for it, but it was like the terrible prostitute slum, everything. Mm-hmm. And do you remember how she drank and bought that opium or something? I can't remember what it was. And then there's like three men banging on her door, like, open up, it's time for business. And then she just runs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just something so powerful about that scene. Like, she just runs.
It was like the breaking point. It was that moment where everything just crashed down.
Because the way she wrote it, I'm like, I'm on pins and needles thinking,
what's going to happen?
What is going to happen? Is she going to go through with this? Is she going to, you know? And I loved that she was able to get up and run. So.
And where she ended up.
Yes.
Like, that's the God part.
I know. I loved it. And then in Redeeming the Outlaw, just Elaine's texture issues and then Matthias's tenderness throughout the whole book just stuck out to me. I mean, I couldn't name just one thing he did. There was so much. So those were scenes. Oh, stories. I have two stories that I remember. The one was, Tiff, when you shared about your mom getting the fish hook caught in her eye lid.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, the poor thing. Mm-hmm. I felt really bad. I think that came from when we talked about A Passion Denied in the Daughters of Boston series, because he took her fishing and she got the fish hook caught in the bottom of his pants.
Yes.
And he said, the fish are not in my pants. And then we were talking about that. And then, Jamie, I don't remember this, but you talked about when you worked at Tractor Supply and you had a customer that tried to kiss you and you were like, whoa.
Oh my gosh. Bless his heart. I haven't been back to tires since.
I remember you saying, like, he was asking about the tires, so I was looking down at the tires and all of a sudden he's like swooping in.
Oh no.
Didn't you say, where is your father?
The first thing out of my mouth was, no thank you.
No. Oh, my word.
Yeah, he didn't speak English, so there really wasn't much I could say. Just, no, thank you. No, we don't do that here.
Oh my goodness. We don't buy kisses. That's a Tractor Supply.
I think I was so shocked. It was just like, nope. And then the other guys that were there were just like, we had Sassy Zach was like, oh, no. Oh, my gosh. And then the one guy's like, wait, what? 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 Like, yeah, I'm serious.
Yeah. At least you had some guys there to back you up.
Oh, good thing I'm back at the library. So.
Yeah, that's right. No one's trying to kiss you at the library.
I hope not.
Anyways, any other final thoughts on what we read over the year?
Mm.
It went fast.
It did. And I hope all of our listeners just thank you for listening to the show each week. And I hope you've enjoyed the books that we've shared with you. We have a ton more coming up in 2024. And we'll be sharing those in our kickoff episode coming out in January.
Hello, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. We'd love to connect with more readers like you and share inspirational stories with them. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, happy and blessed reading.